No, I don't. You guys, if you email me, let me give you my email. And if you email me, I will give you, if you didn't get a handout, I will send you a handout. Okay, it's Steph, S-T-E-F, Mitrano, M-I-T, R-A-N-O, at ccsouthbay.org. Steph Mitrano at ccsouthbay.org. Or you can ask Ali. Yep, that org. All right. Shall we get started?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for the privilege it is for us to minister to kids. And sometimes, God, you ask us to minister to kids who are going through a very, very difficult circumstance. At a time, we feel ill-equipped to do that, Lord. But God, we thank you that your word is sufficient. That because your Holy Spirit indwells us, it is he who enables us to speak words of truth into children's lives, Lord. So thank you. Thank you that we get to do that, Lord. Thank you that we get to depend on you, Father. Bless our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. All right. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've been serving in children ministry for 28 years. I've been on staff for 31 years. I get to go on a lot of mission trips to Mexico and to El Salvador. And when we go to Mexico and El Salvador, we typically get to work with kids who live in, especially in El Salvador, in Colonia neighborhoods where MS-13 runs the block, right? Look. The cool thing is that Calvary Chapel San Salvador has a connection with these gang members, with the leaders. They trust the church to come in and give Bible study to the kids. So there is a ministry called Campo Blancos, which means the fields of white at the harvest, right? And there's a group of people who go into these colonias and share the gospel. A lot of these kids are being trafficked now. A lot of these kids are transporting guns and drugs for the gangs now, right? So you may ask, why kids, right? So why kids? Why would the gang member use kids? Well, not only control it, but the cops will do anything. It's a kid. Right? So it's just a kid. Right? So they use kid. What happens is when a boy turns 12, the gang leader will go to the home of the parents and this boy is now ours. So he becomes part of their gang. They have a choice. You can say no. But if you say no, then the answer is, if you say no, then we'll kill you, your whole family, and so you choose what you want, right? So that's what happens in that situation, right? So it's harsh, but Jesus is still in the midst of that, right? He's not, when we go on a mission trip, sometimes Americans think we're bringing Jesus to them. Like, wait, let's get this straight. God is omnipresent. Gangs can't prevent them to enter into the neighborhoods, right? So we have to, as American believers, we have to get who God is straight in our heads, right? So that, we're going to talk about that in a second. So how to help the traumatized child. Here are some things that I would like to talk about today. I want to examine what is working for you, okay, as you minister to these kids who have been traumatized. Think about what you need to change. Okay, not the kid, what you need to change. Recognize when a child is under stress because of trauma. And we will define both stress and trauma. They're two different things. And then we're going to provide ideas to accommodate and reduce behavior problems. Okay? All right. There's no such thing as one size fits all. So we'll go back. As one size fits all. Okay. Let's look at some of the scriptures. You've got three situations where Jesus intervened. Right? You've got the possessed man, right? The Gadareans. You have the lame man, and you have the blind man. Did Jesus do the same thing in every situation? No. With the possessed man, what did he do? He just spoke, right? To cast the demons out. The lame man, what did he do? Get up. Right? With the blind man, what did he do? He spit. So in each of the situations, right, Jesus healed, but he healed in a different way. Okay, so that tells us we need to be careful how we minister to kids. Okay? So, and we'll deal, because each child is an individual. I think it's really easy to place kids who have been traumatized in a group all by themselves. And instead of seeing the individual face, we see the group. And we say, well, let's minister to the group. Right? Well, okay, just like with learning styles, right? There's different learning styles. You got an auditory learner, you have the kinesthetic learner, and you have the visual learner. So if you present your lesson with just one learning style in mind, what are you going to do? What happens to the other two learning styles? They're going to feel left out. Right, so just like when we get to minister to kids who have been traumatized, we have to be sensitive to what? To the voice of the Holy Spirit telling us, this is how I want you to minister. Right? Be ready to be uncomfortable when you're ministering to kids who are experiencing trauma. Sometimes it doesn't end well, and we have to be okay with that. Not in the sense that, oh well, but okay, and we can't lose heart, right? So what is trauma? Individual trauma results from an event, a series of events, or set of circumstances that is experienced by an individual, and look at where, physically, emotionally harmful, or threatening. Now, the threatening depends on the person. It doesn't depend on you. All these things are from the person who's experiencing a perspective, not you. Okay? They can have lasting adverse effects on the individual's functioning and physical, social, emotional well-being. Okay? So, keeping this in mind, that trauma affects the totality of the being. It's not just one area. It's the whole person. Okay? Here's three main types. There are other trauma, but we're just going to focus on these three. There's acute trauma, there's chronic trauma, yep, and there is complex trauma. Okay. Acute trauma results from a single incident such as, that's where you answer. Oh. A single incident like what?
A death.
Could be a death, right? Could be an accident, right? Yeah, divorce, we'll talk about that. Because divorce is really not a single incident. It affects the totality of the child, right? Chronic, this is repeated and prolonged, such as domestic violence and abuse. So it doesn't just happen once. So a spanking is not... A spanking can not be abusive, provided it's done properly, right? Complex trauma. exposure to varied and multiple traumatic events. Okay? Of often of invasive interpersonal nature. What in the world does that mean?
Yeah.
Somebody help me. What's that?
A foster child.
Let's say foster
child. Foster child.
That what?
Started off being, let's say, abused, then moved from home to home and encountering trauma after trauma.
Exactly. Wow. Right? So that's what complex, it keeps happening. This child keeps getting hurt.
But differently.
By different people. And in different situations.
Yeah.
Right? So do you see the progression? Right? So I want you to think about your lives. You don't have to tell me this. Was there acute trauma in your life? Don't answer. That's between you and Jesus. Right? And the reason I'm telling you this, I want you to think about this, is because sometimes we don't deal with it. We bury it. We eat it. We drink it. We smoke it. We exercise it away. Right, we build up walls so that we don't have to deal with the hurt and insecurity that all this stuff has brought. Right, and we have grown as adults to be able to navigate that. Right, and that's why sometimes... Let me stop. Let me get off my soapbox. Okay, so think about acute trauma, chronic trauma in your life that you've experienced, right, or complex trauma. Which are you more apt to remember? Which are you more apt to go, oof?
Complex.
Right?
Complex.
Typically, it's the complex traumas, like because it invaded who you are. It invaded who God intended you to be. And you think, that's what the end where you think, that by this situation has destroyed God's plan for your life. But come on. Is that true?
No.
No. Can anything come against God?
No.
No, but if a child doesn't have somebody in their life who tells them, it doesn't matter. Because God's plan would not be thwarted. Look at Peter. Right? So this is where we have to understand how this stuff affects children. Right? And be comfortable with our own stuff. You know, a wounded healer cannot heal. So you have to know, you have to deal with this before the Lord. I'm not saying go get therapy, because Jesus is the greatest therapist that there was. And right here is the means of healing. Right? So be aware of that for yourself. So difference between stress and trauma. Stress is all that life brings us and has the potential to alter our emotional stability. Right? I'm late for work because I stopped at Starbucks because I needed my coffee. And I know that when I get into work...
Sorry.
All right. I know when I get into work, I'm going to get looks or something happens. That's stress. Right? Like, whatever. So then, a traumatic experience are always stressful, but stress is not always traumatic. Right? Sometimes getting here this morning, perhaps. Right? Things happen. You know, getting to church tomorrow morning. Something is just, you know, because we're children, so we know this. Like, there's going to be some stress. Right? Your helper's not going to show, and if you're leading the children ministry, you're going to find an email at 5 o'clock in the morning. By the way, I'm not going to make it. Right? That's stressful. But it's not traumatic. Stress is the way that the body reacts to challenging events. Yeah. All right, so think about the last time you were stressed.
This morning, right?
This morning.
I was at a PCA.
So you got lost, right?
Yeah, very
what did you
lost.
Feel? What did? How did your body react?
I gotta get there. I was tensed.
Right.
My whole body was tensed.
Right. Well, what was going through your head?
I gotta get there quick. I'm late.
Right. What else do you experience when you are going through a stressful situation?
Lack of peace.
Lack of peace, there right? And so you act out, right? Your mind has not stayed on him.
Right.
Your mind has stayed on, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late.
Praying, that's right.
Right?
I'm praying, Lord, where's thou?
So, here's how stress affects kids. Okay, we've talked a little bit about how it affects us, but it affects kids differently, right? Mm-hmm. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Mm-hmm. How do you know that the child that you are ministering to is experiencing stress and trauma? What are some of the actions? What are some of the words? What are some of the body language that you might see manifested by this child?
Opposition.
I'm sorry?
Opposition
to what? Tell me.
To directions.
Directions, because why?
Because they want to have control over something.
Something. A child who's been traumatized, a child who is being exploited, a child who's being sexually abused, does not have the choice not to be abused, not to be exploited. So it's always good when you're dealing with, and actually with any children, because you're teaching them how to make good choices, right? To offer choices when they don't know, especially with kids who are like, oh, right? So as a teacher, you're going to offer two or three choices. I say two because three is too many. Yeah. Both choices you have to be okay with.
Yeah.
So do you want to sit here and color, or do you want to go here and do Play-Doh? You have to be okay. So you can't say, no, but there's a third one I'm going to tell you, which is what I want to do. So by doing, if you do that, if you do not honor their choice, you're in a way just like their abusers. So you want to set yourself apart from that. Right? Jesus, the Word of God says, choose you this day. Hey, I'm not going to make you. Choose you this day whom you serve. Right? So, emotionally, a child who's traumatized, how are they apt to respond emotionally to situations that most kids wouldn't face them?
Anger or tears.
Anger or tears. And that's language, isn't it? With children, behavior is communication. So this anger or tear, if a child is crying, you're giving direction, and they start crying, what's most likely going in their heart and their mind?
They got frustrated and couldn't deal with what you were asking.
Why? Why can they not deal with what you're asking?
They can't process. They're not processing.
Do you ever get in your car sometimes, and you drive, and you get there, but you don't remember how you got there?
Yes.
Right?
Autopilot.
What's happening? What have you been thinking about? Man. Right? You're having this conversation in your head because there's something that's happened. Something that somebody's, and you're just like, I should have said that. They were wrong by saying that. If I only had thought of it then, I would have been right. Right? No, we've grown up and we've thought through that, right? So here you have this child who has a home that is just in shambles. Hey, can they fix it?
No.
So it's going to be haunting them, right? They're going to be jealous of the other kids who appear to have the perfect home, right? So emotionally, mentally, what's going to happen to them? They're going to say, this is just too much. And so they actually shut down. They don't respond. They'll just sit there. They have a flood affect. They don't respond to your questions. They're there, but they're not there. Where are they? They're wishing that they didn't have to go back to whatever they're dealing with. Right? Spiritually. What is the message that an abuser is sending the child?
I don't believe in God. He's not with me. He's not protecting me.
Okay. What else?
I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. What else?
It's your fault.
Right? It's your fault that I'm abusing you.
Yes. You deserve this.
Right.
You made me do it.
Right. And especially when there is a culture of assault, a culture of abuse within a family, and then it gets normalized. Well, I did it with your mom. And if you tell them, they don't get it. And the sad thing is, you guys, if somebody has been abused by whoever, this whoever is abusing their child, it's like, that's what we do.
That's right.
They feel powerless. Right? And so how does this child perceive themselves in God's eyes? They see themselves as damaged goods. Why would God love me? Because as somebody said here, the abuser said it's your fault. So the last trip we went to El Salvador, there was a little boy, his name is Jonathan. He lives in a colonia called Naranjo, which is orange, right? Mm-hmm. And the mom is a prostitute, dad is a drug runner. So Jonathan runs the street, there's nobody to care for him. So the families of the neighborhood take care of him. So he doesn't have a home. It's like he sleeps here one day and here another day. The thing that happens with Jonathan is that the men of the neighborhood sexually abuse him. They use him as a sexual object. So we went to a, and I told the other group this, I wear my emotions on the sleeve, and so you just make a fist, let it go, right? So we went to minister to this group of kids, and one of the questions that Jonathan asked was, where is God when I'm being abused? If he is, because we were talking about God being in every place, and God being all powerful, and God being able to do all these things. So you taught me this, but where is God when these men are abusing me? And honestly, I didn't know what to tell them. I had the scriptural thing, right? But I didn't have the...
No security.
And so I flash back to when I was abused. And remembering all of that, and so I was able to talk about him, about who he was in Christ, right? And about what the plans that God had for him. I said, that if God loves me so much, why is he allowing this? And so we talked about how people have choices, right? And God will never force himself on us. And so... what I was able to tell him was that even though you're being abused, even though you don't think that God is there, God is standing right there.
Yes.
These men are making the wrong choices. And unfortunately, Jonathan, you're the one who's suffering through this. But you need to know that God loves you. And that God somehow, I don't know how, Jonathan, but God somehow is going to help you through this. He's going to provide someone just, and I was able to talk about Israel, how they were under slavery, and God provided. Every time that God, that Israel got in a mess, God provided a deliverer. So Jonathan, be looking for that deliverer. The thing is, you guys, is that as a church, we can't intervene. Because if we do, then we can't go back. The gang leaders will not allow us to go back. We can't call the authorities because it's worse, because then they go from the frying pan into the fire. Because the child protective system there... Exactly. And so... what happens is, if a girl is taken out of a situation and put in child protective services, the likelihood that she will be sold for sex is greater than if she were in the neighborhood. So you look at this, it's like, how in the world? And that's where we have to say, okay, God, you know this. You know this. This is you. There's nothing I can do to change this. Right? So, it affects them spiritually because they think, who's going to love me? Because the abuser tells me, no one's going to love you. You know, if it's a girl, who's going to want you? You're not a virgin. Who's going to want you? Right? So here are some immediate responses to that. Our brain is responsible to keep us safe. Right? So, that's how God created us. When a child is under trauma, the brain steps in and dulls the sensitivity of pain. Not just the physical pain, but the emotional pain as well. right? The one thing that happens when a child is being sexually molested, there is pleasure for the child. And so the child knows it's wrong, and yet they're experiencing a physical pleasure. And so they're confused. It's like, I know this is wrong, but what do I do? Right? And so this is where we help them talk through this. The heart rate accelerates. More blood flows to the large muscles. Why is that? What's happening? What is the body getting ready to do?
Fight or flight.
I'm either going to deck you or run. Right? But when a child is in a situation like that, they're prevented from acting upon the fight or flight. And so what do they do?
They freeze.
They become paralyzed, right? So here's some signs of poorly managed stress. They're unable to concentrate. So you're giving your lesson, and Mary is poking. Or Mary is dropping stuff on the floor. Or Mary is singing to herself. Or Mary is doing something that is distracting. And she's not intentionally doing this. It's a coping mechanism that she has developed, right? So she is unable to concentrate. She can't remember things, right? When we as adults are stressed, we can't remember things because our mind is occupied by other things. The other thing that I want you to remember, that a child who's being traumatized, a child who's under stress, does not have the bandwidth to dream. And so they think, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck. Right? They're disorganized. They can't find things. Because their inner life is a mess. Not because of them, but because of the abuser and the situation that they're living in. Sorry, back up. Without impulse control, right? What they think they do, right? What they think in their head is going to come out of their mouth. There's like no filter. Again, those are all things that are telling you as the adult, I need help. I need, please pay attention to me. Right, so they do this to stand out. Right, do they do it on purpose? I think God put it in them, in us, as a cry for help. Right, so instead of punishing them, instead of being like whoever is doing this to them, we're going to be like Jesus to them. Yeah. Right? We're going to go and wash their feet. We're going to go and abandon our lesson plan if needed and focus on the one. Isn't that what Jesus did? Right? There were millions of thousands of people around him, and he said, somebody touched the hem of my garment. Who was it? And what the disciple says, okay, look how many people are here. Say, no. Somebody would need to touch the hem of my garment. And that's what we need to pray. For ourselves. That we wouldn't get so stuck with the masses that we lose the one. Right? Here's some ways that we can help the stressed child. When we are stressed, what happens to our breathing? Does it go down to our diaphragm? No. Where does it go? It stops right here. And what happens when it stops right here? What happens to our brain? Does it get the oxygen it needs? No. So we're thinking with half a brain. Is that really thinking? Right? So breathing, helping them to breathe. So when you have a child who's upset, who's stressed, typically they're breathing really quickly. Yeah. Their body is tense, right? Their face is all scrunched up, right? And so we are going to help them. Because do you think that they're aware?
No.
No, they're not aware. So we're going to help them. We're going to say, hey, Mary, breathe with me. I see that you're upset. Look at me, and they won't look at you the first time. So breathe with me. And so you're going to model for them how we should breathe. You're going to take deep breaths, and you're going to exhale. It may take a little while. She may be reticent to do this with you, but that's okay. Stick with it. Right? She needs to know that you are a person that can be trusted. Okay? Music. When Saul was going crazy, what did David do? Play the harp. Right? And the ugly spirit left Saul. Right? So, music. Not just any music. You know that, right? Worship music. Because that's going to be healing. Right? So, don't get this twisted. Movement. So, if you have a child in your classroom who is tense and upset and not cooperating, let's get moving. But not just her. Okay, everybody. We're going to get up. And these to apply to your lesson. Okay, so the easy one is Jericho, right? We're going to get up and march around Jericho, right? But as you walk around, you're going to walk with Mary. You're going to stick by her. You're going to encourage her as she walks. You're going to help her to breathe. You're going to help her to sing, right? You're going to model what you want for her. Organized movement, just like the first one. Everybody moves together, because what's going to happen is, if you just tell Mary to move by yourself, what's going to happen to all the kids? Look at Mary. What's wrong with her? So everybody gets up, right? We want to protect her. Extension, which means stretching, right? Stretching your body. Because when you're tense, your muscles contract, right? Move the spine. So side to side, whatever you need to do to get that spine moving to realign, okay? And then lateral, cross, and midline. You want to get, because what happens sometimes, not that that they disassociate from the body in a psychological way, but because there's so much stress that they're not aware of their body. So we want them to be aware that you've got feeling, you've got emotion. And the best way of doing that is what? Get your body moving. Right? When we're stressful and we go for a walk, what happens? We're swinging our arms, right? We're moving our feet. Our breathing gets easier. Our thoughts get clearer. Right? All right. Other ways of helping. Transition to the group. Kids who are traumatized don't do well with... Okay, let's go. So, 5 minutes before you get ready to go. And the other thing is, on your classroom where you are, post a schedule and draw their attention to it at the beginning of class. Okay, class, today we're going to, first we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then at the end, this is what we're going to do. You've done something for the child who's in a traumatic situation. What have you done with them?
Predictability.
You give it, because, predictability, because at home, I don't know what I'm going to find when I get home. Is my dad going to be upset and beat my mom? And is my mom, because she got beat, is she going to be upset at me? Right? So you want to give them, okay, I know what's happening. 5 minutes before you're going to transition, you're going to tell, okay, group, we're getting ready to go to wherever. Let's clean up what you're doing, and let's move together. 2 minutes before. Okay, everybody, we've got 120 seconds to go. This is what we're going to do next, okay? You can have a basket or a box, and you say, cast your cares, so that the child can write their prayer requests on there, without a name, of course, right? So as they come in, or as you talk with them, hey, why don't you write that on this piece, and you would have it here. For example, let's say this is your cast of care, cast your cares boxes. You would have a scripture, cast your cares upon the Lord, right? Because you always want to connect the child to Jesus, not to you. Okay, drop it off here. And then your responsibility is to pray. Don't ask for them if you don't intend to pray. Okay, and that's between a you and Jesus thing. You don't need to give this information to the prayer team. That's between you and Jesus. Okay, and make sure that you clarify that you no names on there. Okay, that they like to be anonymous. So I don't want to be judged for who I am. Okay? No surprises, that's why you're going to have a schedule, right? We talked about posting your schedules. Tell them what you want to do, want them to do, not what you don't want them to do. Because at home, what do they get? Don't do this. Don't do that. Right? So no should not be in your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Choices, yes. Not no. Because no, when a child who's being traumatized, abused, the moment they hear no, what do they say? Don't want to hear it. That's all I get at home. No. Okay, so you need to maybe rework your sentences. Rework your instruction. So the child, it's easy for a child to receive it. Do not rush stressed children. What happens when you get rushed and you're stressed? Is good water coming out or bad water? Right? No water, yeah, I'm dry. I throw rocks. So don't rush them. Give them more time. Or simplify your lesson. Right? I told the other group, they will not remember your lesson. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how wonderful the craft is. They will not remember. What they're going to remember is, how did you relate to them? How did you wash their feet? How did you connect with them? They'll remember that. But your lesson? Please. Only Jesus' lessons last. Right? So don't rush them. Provide water to drink. Why? There's a physical reason. Stress causes dehydration. We are mostly water. Our brain is mostly water. When you don't drink, what happens to your brain? It sucks up. And when you drain, your brain is dry, can you think properly? No. Can you respond properly? No. So provide water. Not juice. Not Coke. Water. And it doesn't have to be bottled, by the way. Just water. Okay? To rehydrate their bodies. They may have to be taught that they need to drink. Okay? That sometimes, that takes care of a lot of the problems. Because they're able to think clearer. Stress hurts. Right? It's been said that I would rather feel physical pain rather than feel emotional pain. Right? So we're dealing with a bunch of wounded kids who are still bleeding. Right? Who are still hurt and they need a healer, and we know who the healer is. And it's not us. Right? It's not Sunday school. It's not release time. The healer is Jesus. So we have to make sure that we are standing in the gap. That we are the ones who are preaching the word and not popular opinion. Right? Especially when with all the sex thing that's going on right now. You know, my grandson, 13, is going to go to Boys Club, and they have a program that he's going to be part of. So part of the question under sex is male, female, trans boy, trans girl, there was another one. There were six choices. It's like, what? Six choices. It's just.
What they don't want to say too. There's one where.
Right. It says I'd prefer not to say. Right. So, we look at what the world is doing, right? And the world is trying to normalize this. And children who are under stress or being victimized, it's easier for them to fall for the lie of the enemy. Okay, because they don't have someone at home who says, no, that's wrong. Right? And then tell them why it's wrong. And then they have to get to an age to where they have to figure out why it's wrong. So we can't just tell them. So what do you think about A, B, C, D, E? If they don't know it, let's go to the Word and let's see what the Bible says about this. And so we as believers should never be afraid of answering the question, "What I feel like I'm a homosexual, what do I do?" Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. When God created man and woman, what did he create?
Man and woman.
And for each of these two, he had responsibilities for them. Right? So we look at Psalms chapter 1 for the godly man. Proverbs 31 for the godly woman. So God has all this stuff in place. We, and when I say we, I really mean parents, right? That's Deuteronomy 11, says parents, right? Unfortunately, a lot of parents don't want to do this, are ignorant, or whatever the reason is, and they leave it to the Sunday school teacher to come up with all this.
Right.
Right? And so please, please, unless the child in your classroom has your last name, it, mom, dad, they have a question. That's how we instruct our teachers. Like, there are situations they should never get involved in. By doing that, you are usurping your authority. And you are alleviating the parents of the godly responsibility as given them to disciple their own children. Right? So, mom, Emily has a question about this. And let Emily voice the question to mom. It's okay, go ahead and discuss it. Because it's likely that Emily will not tell her. But in front of you, and if Emily is afraid or ashamed, so mom, Emily was wondering why she feels a certain way about this girl in her classroom. So I think that you and Emily can discuss this at home, and I'll be praying for you. Your responsibility is done until next week. Emily, what'd your mom say? Right, and if mom didn't, that's what your what is your responsibility?
Talk to mom.
Hey mom, remember last Sunday? Let's call accountability.
Okay.
Right, because some parents, and I think the problem is this, that some parents are ignorant or afraid of what to say. It's like,
or both.
Right, or they want to be their kid's friend.
Yeah.
Like, look. I'm not your friend. I'm your dad. And I'm going to act like your dad. And part of my responsibility as your dad is to teach you these things and to correct you when things are wrong. And not wrong because I think it's wrong, but wrong because God, through His Word, says it's wrong. Again, keep this in the back of your mind. You will not live forever. You will die. Hallelujah. God is eternal, so we want to connect them to Him. Snacks, stay away from candy, please. It doesn't do anything nutritionally for them, right? So use applesauce. That's a comfort food, right? Foods that are high in potassium: banana, orange juice, mashed potato. I don't know. But you know what I'm surprised is ketchup. It's like, there's so much sugar in ketchup. Right? So we want to stay away from a lot of the processed foods. Okay?
Yeah.
You want crunchy foods. Why crunchy foods? And I don't mean potato chips. I mean apples and carrots. Why crunchy?
Satisfying.
And what else? It does something. You have to work at it, and just like moving, it reconnects them to their body. Okay. Excuse me. So, energy zones of angry and stressed children, and by that, but an energy zone is how the kids demonstrate that they're stressed, or demonstrate that they are traumatized. The mouth. Now, is the mouth gonna tell you, I'm having a really difficult time at home?
No. Yeah.
Or pouting. Doing
it. They won't tell you what's going on.
They don't tell you. So what do they do? What do they do? Right?
Or maybe the mouth off, or, yeah.
So they're gonna be interrupting you.
Oh yeah.
Right? And so instead of saying, really? Right. And there may be a need for that, but after you talk with them. Hey, when I was teaching, I saw that you, and illustrate to them what you were doing. What was happening? Can you tell me about that? Well, nothing. No, there's a reason why you did that. If they still can't come up with it, then offer some choices. Were you bored? Were you angry? Are you thinking about something? But don't give them the answer, because you don't know the answer. Right, just like with kids who are traumatized, they are sometimes confused as to how to express their feelings. So one of the greatest tools is you go to Google Images and print out a sheet of emoticons. And you say, okay, how do you feel? Which of these emoticons feels like you right now? And this works really well. I was doing some research on child soldiers. And child soldiers, of course, there's not so many now, but in the past, the leaders used to deaden the children's emotions. How did they do that? Alcohol, drugs, right? So they were not allowed to show emotion. I was reading the story where this counselor went and talked to this child soldier. He was in his teen, he had been released, he actually ran away. And as the child was telling, this young man now, was telling the counselor his story, the counselor started crying. And it's like, as a counselor, you know, it's like you're supposed to be distant. And like, so I said, I'm really sorry that I'm crying. He said, no. Thank you for feeling what I can't. Mm-hmm. Right? So some of these kids will negate their feelings, will shut down their feelings, because if they feel, it makes them vulnerable, doesn't it, to their perpetrator. And so we want to help them, and one of the best way that I've learned is by using that sheet. It doesn't need to be fancy. Just, hey, could you point? And then you talk about that. But always, 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 whatever the emotion, attach scripture to it. Okay? Hands and arms. You're going to catch these hands, right? You're going to hit. They're going to kick. They're going to pull hair. They're going to throw pencils. Again, before you deal with the action, let's deal with the motivation behind the action. Feet and legs. These are the runners, right? These are the ones who are kicking the desk. These are the ones who have a sewing machine leg, right? They are getting their stress out of their body through the leg, right? Or they're one tapping, right? They're trying to communicate. And yes, this is so annoying, right? So what can we do? How can we help these children who are fidgety? These children who need to move while we're not moving. What can we do? What are some of the tools that you can give them? What's that?
I'll give them Play-Doh.
Play-Doh is your friend. Did you know that?
Yes.
They sell little ones. Lakeshore sells them. They're not very expensive. So, hey, here's a toy for you, right? And when you feel frustrated, play with it. And also, you're going to get some instruction, don't put it on the carpet,
right?
So we have little trays that we give the kids. Something else for kids who are need sensory stimulation, Velcro, right? You can buy rolls of Velcro, cut it in pieces, and that helps them with the rough side. It helps them to feel some sensation. What else can we give them?
My husband is this person. He has the need to move. But they have fidget, like, little clickers. And so he has one for church because
he has to.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, they're not just the fidget spinners, though. They look like a little, like a mini game controller. And so there's, like, a spin, there's buttons, there's, like, click tabs, there's lots of different modalities on this little...
And the cool thing is, you guys, when we give these children these tools, what are they going to feel?
Empowered.
Seen.
Somebody is seeing what I'm doing. Somebody has understood that I need this. Right? And so even though they're fidgeting, even though they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're listening. They can usually tell you the story.
That's true.
Right? So let's not discount.
Yeah.
Like when I'm listening, I'm writing, I'm doodling, but I'm listening.
Yeah.
Like I'm one of those kids. I need to move. Right? So feet and legs. Children's behavior becomes their communication when they don't feel safe. Okay. So our goal is we want our time with these kids to be a safe place for them. That's why we're going to watch our looks. That's why we're going to watch our words. That's why we're going to watch our body language. the way we stand, the way we discipline other kids in the classroom, the way we relate to other adults, because they're watching. They're listening. Be careful of your words. Weigh your words carefully, right? When they don't feel loved. All right, so we want 5 minutes? Okay, 10 minutes, okay. Phew, you scared me. I'm stressing, no. I just don't play, no. When they don't feel loved, when they're confused, right? When they don't know what they're feeling, that's what discouragement is. You've got, discouragement is a bunch of emotions just cascading upon you at the same time. And you don't know what to feel. And so, you kind of lose it, right? So, they're confused. They're not sure of the future. So, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to turn out to be like, am I going to turn out to be like my dad? Am I going to turn out to be like my mom? If it's a girl, am I going to marry the same... Right, and so they start making these pacts. Right, I remember I was 8 years old, my dad, very abusive. I vowed I will never be like him. I will never, and I wasn't a believer at that time. I was 8 years old, right? Like, and I knew how he treated my mom, how he treated us. I will never be like him. And by God's grace, I'm nothing like my dad. And because of that, there's a great distance. Right? Because he doesn't see me as like a strong man. It's like, well, look, okay, whatever. It's a whole different workshop, right? Children are doing the best they can. And so when they come into your classroom and that's the little tornado, and when they come in, everything is on the floor and they tear up the paper and they destroy your craft and they don't follow through with what you tell them, they're telling you something. That please, please, please be my control. Show me how to gain control of my emotions. Show me how to, yes, exactly, provide some structure for me by the schedule, right? And so what are you going to do when Billy comes in next week and you know that he's going to come in like a whirlwind? How are you going to help him? Okay, and what else are you going to say? Hey, Billy, thank you for coming. I'm so glad you came. Not, oh my God. He's here again. He's here.
Right?
What's that? You had that student. Yes, I think all of us have had that student. I think all of us have had that attitude towards Billy.
And he received Jesus as Christ as Savior, though.
Right.
It took a while, but he got it.
But the change needs to be in us. We have to be okay with Billy. Because if we're not okay with Billy, guess what? We're not going to minister to him. We want to see him as a hassle. We're going to see him as a disruption to my plans. And I know you know this. I'm preaching to the choir. But do you know that each child that you come in contact with, God has anointed and appointed?
Yeah.
He has. No one else has what you have to give to this child. Otherwise, they wouldn't be with you. Right, so when we get frustrated, what are we saying to God? So now it stops being me and Billy, and now it's a me and God thing. What are we saying to God if we get frustrated with Billy?
You are wrong.
You're wrong. Somebody should, he's got to go somewhere else. Right? In fact, it should be God. I'm sorry that I'm not with life. I'm sorry that I'm not willing to live a crucified life. Like with a kid? Yes, with a kid. I'm sorry for putting my will above yours, my lesson above yours. Right? So it needs to be us. Would Jesus treat Billy any differently than the one who sits there quietly and smiles at you? Then we do not have the privilege or luxury to treat Billy any differently than the favorite child that we have in the class, because we all have a favorite child. Right? We do. Don't lie. I know. I've been at this for 30 years. I know. Right? So we need to treat Billy just like we treat Jana. We treat the same. Love them the same. Put up with them the same. Because Jesus puts up with us, doesn't he? Because Because we're Billy, aren't we?
Right.
We are. So we need to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, unless you break this pride, because that's what it is, you know that,
right?
Unless you break this pride, I can't. Right? Validate their feelings. Hey, Billy, it seems like, because remember, he may not know what he's feeling. It seems like you are feeling a little anxious or whatever, and the Holy Spirit will show you. Right? What do you think about that, Billy? And they say, yeah, and continue on. But that's okay. You sent them a message. You said, I'm noticing you, and I'm here to help you. Okay? They might disrupt. This is the fight or flight. Right? We talked about that earlier. Describe their actions. When you look at them, and they're not there, right? At some point during the class, hey, Mary, here's what I saw during the class. Your face was here, but it didn't seem like you were hearing. Can you tell me what's happening? Right, and give her time. It takes time, you guys. They're not like adults. Yeah, this is what's happening. I fought with this and that. It might take a while. They may have to draw it because they're afraid to say it. So give them a piece of paper. Hey, Mary, would you feel more comfortable if you drew this? Or if you wrote it down? Would you be more comfortable with that? Right? They get aggression. Comments without prejudice. We're going to correct them, but we're not going to say you're a bad kid, because there are no bad kids. Mm-hmm. Right? There are unacceptable actions. Right? So, you did it. Good job. Keep it short. Don't go on and on. Keep it short. Especially if you're a person with many words. Keep it short. They will lose interest. Okay? They just need to hear the good. They don't need to hear why they're good. Just good job. Right? Use options. We're talking about options. Use a child's name as much as possible. Because why?
Identity.
Nobody, probably at home, he's not called by that name. He's called every name but that one. Right? And so we're going to say Mary every time we talk to them. And it may seem like they know their name. Yeah, but you're going to, because we love to hear our name. Right? Yeah, it's the sweetest sound other than Jesus. Reformulate how you make the request. Again, don't give old big old paragraphs. Quick. David, walk to the circle. Remember, David is dealing with some stuff in his head. He's not paying attention. So if you're going to go, wow, 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 walk to your desk. No, just David, walk to the circle. Okay? Lisa, listen to the story. You're going to be very direct. Because that breaks through all the confusion. And you're telling them what you want. Stop moving around, Lisa. Right? We talked about not saying that. Here's what I want you to do, Lisa. I want you to listen to the story. Okay? Finish your snack, Carlos. Okay? And then when they've accomplished it, hey, good job. And then don't make a big deal, because these kids don't like to be in the limelight. Just move on. Recognize if they make a mistake. At home, they're probably going to get yelled at, beat, or whatever. It's like, okay, so you made a mistake. Let's do this again. Let's try it again. Without judgment. And look, your face. Fix your face. Right? Be careful how your face looks. Okay? It's just stuff. So they broke the pencil. It's just stuff. You can get another pencil. You can sharpen that one.
Yeah.
Right? They put a plate on the carpet. When it dries, it'll come off. Okay? Don't lose your mind over this. Just, again, short sentences. If something goes wrong, it's like, whatever. Okay? It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world that they spill their water or their whatever. It's like... Let's have an eternal perspective. Right? Does it matter in heaven whether Billy broke the pencil or not? But at the moment, it's like, oh my gosh, you broke the pencil. How dare you? You know how much this pencil costs? Yeah, you know how much salvation costs? Right? So let's make sure that we give a proper perspective of what church is. And that could be release time or actual Sunday school. It's church. Right? Be friendly. Be friendly with the kids. Smile when they come in. Let them actually know, I'm so glad you're here. I've been thinking about, don't lie. Right? So if you have been thinking about them, don't say it. I've been thinking about you. And I can't wait to share with you what the Lord has shared with me. Right? So what are you doing by doing that? You're doing a number of things. What are you doing?
Making them feel special.
Okay, and what else?
Reassuring them that someone out there cares for them in a positive manner. Giving them a safe place someone can confide in. And praying for them.
And you're making them feel included. You're giving them a sense of belonging. Right? Because if a child does not have a sense of belonging, they ain't gonna listen to you. They won't listen. They're looking to belong. Right? So make sure that they feel like you belong here. One of the tools that you can use if you have a child who is living under stressful or traumatic situation is scripture, of course, right? Piece of paper. Write the scripture. Put their name on it where applicable. For God so loved Billy. Right? Give it to them. They may not, but they can't read it. Give it to them. When they feel that piece of paper in their pocket, they're going to say, somebody loves me. Somebody is actually thinking about me. And do you know that they will keep that? Mm-hmm. And they'll bring it back to, look, I still have the paper. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what we want to do, things like that with them. We want to help them to feel a sense of belonging, and that when they're away from you, you're giving them hope. You say, when I go to, then I have Miss So-and-so who thinks about me. And that may get them through a really difficult situation. That may get them through the next yelling match with their parents. They may get them through the next fight that mom and dad are having. Right? Mirror neurons. So when you have a baby, and right there, you, and you look at a baby with a scowl on your face, what's the baby have to do? You do the same thing, right? When you smile, what's the baby have to do?
Smile.
When you talk to the baby, what are they apt to do? Try to talk to you, right? That thing called mirror neurons doesn't go away. Right? When you walk into a room and you have the person who's leading the room, it's like, all right, let's get this over with. How are you going to feel? I'm imposing. They don't want me here. Right? So when this kid breaks through the door, how quickly can they tell that they are welcome?
Immediately.
The moment they see your face. Right? So, just like when they get a cold, they can capture your mood. So you set the tone for the room. Right? When you smile, they're going to smile. Now, is this for everybody? No, it's not for everybody. Right? Not everybody's going to respond that way. But you're going to still do that. Right? I'm out of time. Yeah. Okay. You've got all this information. I think I gave my email at the beginning. I have one more handout.
Can I have it?
Does anybody else need one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right here. Who?
I need one.
Email me.
Okay.
Email me, and I'll send you the slides. You guys, thank you so much. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you've given us your word. Thank you that you allow us to influence lives of kids who have been hurt and wounded. We pray that we would trust you. Every kid who comes into our classroom, every kid that we have contact with, Lord. Bless these, God, my brothers and sisters, as they have set their hand to the plow. I pray that you will cause a road to rise up and meet their feet. I pray that your word will be alive in their lives so that they can share it in a meaningful way with their kids. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you guys, God bless you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Just
to confirm,
it's
McDonald's
at
CCC South Bay. CCC South Bay. Yeah. No, they do.
Yeah.